Good afternoon and welcome to The Drive here on TSN 1200. Lever Sage, AJ Jakubek, Bobby Hines, Cam is here as well. Hope you're having a good Thursday afternoon here in the nation's capital. And Mr. Jakubek, it's been a minute since we have seen each other. A lot going on in the meantime and in between time, as Ed Whalen used to say. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? How was the trip? You know what? I'll get on the trip in a moment. Hello, Lee. Hello, Big Red. Hello, Cam.
Hey, guys. Sorry. I still struggle getting the headphones on in a timely manner. I tend to fumble. Nervous energy.
The key would be put the headset on and get the mic ready before the show starts.
Detroit.
You're already ready for anything.
Detroit versus everybody.
Detroit versus everybody.
That's what he's wearing today.
I know. Well, he started out with Back in Black from AC/DC, and we all have black t-shirts on.
It worked out, and you're today. Back, right? And you're back for the first time
back.
This week.
How many t-shirts do I have that aren't black?
I was going to say, mine are mostly black.
there you go.
Nice to have you here.
Yes, and Cam. By the way.
Nice to be here.
Yes, great to have you here, Cam. And he's here because today, today's the day, right? We gotta send our a buddy a note of congratulations.
Matt Conisvita getting married today.
Wow!
That is a wow moment. And I have no idea how things have gone leading up with everything that's happened. I hope everything has been good and they are going to enjoy their day. I doubt they're married yet. Do you know what time? I think it was later.
I don't know what time.
I don't. It usually is kind of 3, 4, 5 o'clock, sometime in there. But anyway, what a time, right? He is hours away, if not married already. So congratulations to the Conisvitas.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Finally, someone of the three of us is married.
Well, we're all on the right path, AJ. We're all on the right path, aren't we? Anyway, and look, lot going on. Some CFL stuff to talk about. What a comeback from Canada earlier today.
Yeah.
Dave Smart waited. That's good. One of the joys of getting a text from you saying Dave Smart will be on tomorrow. This is yesterday. So today at 4:05, I was like, I thought I was going to miss Mr. Smart. And what an honor and privilege it is for him to come on today.
4:05. I've talked to him like twice this week since.
Huh. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've had a couple of conversations with Dave and looking forward to Dave joining us at 4:05.
So, yeah, I want to just start with, look, been away and completely, I mean, I don't want to talk.
We got to talk about, you know what?
It's hard to talk
about some nonsense and whether they're going to play tomorrow and all that stuff. And
I know.
Certainly Canada, that's good. I was happy to hear that. 3-1 driving to the walkthrough today at TD Place is for a game that might or might not happen tomorrow.
You said you weren't going to be negative
here. No, I'm not. I'm just saying it. I'm stating a fact.
Yeah.
And, you know, listening to the game, had it on at home a little bit on television as I was getting ready to leave. And, all right, it's 3-1. Not looking very good. There's like 4.5 minutes left. All right, get to walk through. All of a sudden, I hear Drake Batherson scores. They've won. I'm like, what do you mean they've won? What happened to 3-2 and 3-3? So, yeah, awesome for Canada. But I got to know your trip. Like, you went to Maine, you went to Vermont, you went to New Hampshire.
Yeah. And before I talk about it, just to say how much I do appreciate what has gone on here in the city and the outskirts.
Well, and you're dealing with it right now.
I am, but got back last night
at
9 o'clock, and I still don't have power at my place, and was, you know, great to be able, like, people helping out here and there. And one of our friends, Ben and Ashton, who I've gotten to know a little bit and is a big fan of the podcast, but he listens all the time to TSN 1200, you know, gave me a call this morning and said, look, I got power back last night. He lives out in the area too. And, you know, I have a generator. So trying to get that organized today, but I was bringing water back from kind of a local tap. There I was. I was farm guy today, AJ, because I had two huge pails of water just so I could pour into the toilets so people could go to the bathroom. So it was, luckily no major damage. And I understand, you know, so many people have gone through it. And, you know, it's amazing to me. I had some people reach out, like, how are you doing? Are you okay? Like, how's the house? How's everything? And these were people that didn't have power for 3 days, 4 days. And I find that amazing. Like, we're a tough city. We're a tough, tough city. And for people to be able to do that, like, and have gone 3 or 4 days and not have power and have to do some of the things that they might have, you know, had to go through on their own. And, you know, we lost a bunch of food. Hey, that's the way it goes when the power goes off and it's still not on. So I think tomorrow night it's supposed to, that's the estimated time. It's like 11 o'clock tomorrow night for us. So hopefully, but we'll make it through. But just amazing resilience, everything that people have been through just to go through this again. And like, it's nothing. 3 or 4 days without power. How can I help somebody else? I find that incredible. I am proud of the city for that. So I just wanted to get that out of the way.
Yeah.
I certainly have not struggled whatsoever.
Because there are, look, I said this about how when I was in the hospital, you learn in a hurry that often the most sympathetic people are the ones in worse shape than you.
Right.
So there's no such thing as a small problem, but there's no doubt there are people dealing with major issues, major damage. There have been people that have been injured. There have been people that have passed away. It's been a rough week. There's no doubt about it. And hopefully we can get through, you know, for the people that still don't have power, hopefully that gets resolved soon. And for the people dealing with worse, hopefully, you know, better days ahead, right? And certainly we're all kind of here for each other.
Yeah.
We're a great community that way. I've seen that, you know, certainly in my time here as someone that didn't grow up here, how many people stood up for me and came to my help when I was in need. And certainly, we're a very supporting city, and this is a week that shows that as much as any.
I would agree. So, the trip.
Yes, I need to know about the trip.
Yeah, because you were the one that told me, you know what, you gotta, if you're going down that area, you gotta stop in North Conway, New Hampshire.
How was that decision? Was that a good decision by me to tell you to stop in North Conway?
No. It was a fantastic decision.
There you go.
Yeah. Did I fool you? At least for like half a second? No, probably not. Yeah, it was awesome. To be able to get there and you know, just to go and kind of stayed right by where the outlets were, but the mountains, the drive to get there and then the drive afterwards from New Hampshire into Portland, Maine through the mountains. And,
yeah, it's a great drive.
And Mount Washington and like crazy. Like sometimes you just don't appreciate how close it really is. And five, six hours you're there. And anyway, fantastic decision. Love North Conway. Sea Dog Brewery was there and had a good time there and went out to a nice dinner and then went to Portland, Maine for a couple of nights.
Did you end up going to DeMillo's?
I have a picture. I was going to send it to you. Went to Luke's.
Okay.
Right beside.
Well, there you go. You're on the water. That's all
DeMillo's.
That matters.
Like literally looking at the boat.
Yeah.
There's DeMillo's right there. It was just, we were going to, and we went to this Luke's lobster place instead, but right on the water in the old port. Fantastic city too. Like just.
Yeah. Great spot.
So much to do. And I actually got out to the beach a couple times, which was awesome. Like, how many times can you go out and actually lie on a beautiful beach in the sun? It was like 23 degrees. It was awesome. Like, I can't tell you how good it was. Yeah, and then back to Vermont and then back last night. So it was quite a trip. You know me. I like to check out the local crafts and some of those things and did so. And
what was the best beer you had on your trip?
So in the Sea Dog Brewing Company, for people who would know, they have a, they had a, like a sampler pack. They had raspberry, blood orange, blueberry, and peach. It was unreal. But the best one I had, I actually only had a taste of it, and it was a collaboration of three or four different breweries, and I don't have the can name in front of me because it was a, it was right in Allagash Brewery, and right across the street, there was like two or three breweries. These, you go and you sit outside and all these things in Portland, Maine. It was awesome, but it tasted like Fruit Loops. And I only had a sample, and I only had four, so I didn't even, I had the sampler there, and then I have four now at home that are going to be like, you know, if people have $100 bottles of wine that they break into every so often, this will be like the four, like this is the state of the art. I'll get the name of it here in a minute, but yeah, lots of different things to do, but incredible, like to go out, and again, 6 or 7 hours away, you really realize how kind of far away you are in the mountains and the greenery and get to the ocean and all of those things.
It is a beautiful part of the world, no doubt.
So to be able to do that so quickly, and yeah, left Saturday morning and back last night. So, and then here I am and wondering what's going on, AJ. When I left, I was like, well, I'm coming back and we got a game Friday night, and we finally got a deal done, and your Oilers, all they've done is won since I left.
My Oilers, okay?
Yeah, they are.
I want them to win this series.
No,
we know that.
They're your Oilers, and your Oilers have looked really good, okay?
They're not.
Your Oilers,
I'm a Sens guy, first and foremost.
Well, they're not playing.
Well, no, I get they're not playing. Look, if it's Edmonton, Colorado, I don't care who wins.
You don't care?
No, I don't.
Not even 51-49 for Edmonton. If Edmonton's in the Stanley Cup final because they beat the Colorado Avalanche.
I want whoever wins, if it is Edmonton-Colorado and they both need another win, certainly we're going to get to that over the course of the next few hours. If it is Edmonton-Colorado, I just want whoever wins that series to win the Stanley Cup because I think Colorado is the best team with the most talent,
mm-hmm.
the most fun to watch as an entire group. Tampa Bay knows how to win, right? St. Louis knows how to win. St. Louis isn't as good as Tampa Bay, but they know how to win.
Boy, and that's, they found a way
last that's
night.
Why they're still alive. They should not be still alive in this series,
yeah.
But they know how to win. And that's the hump that the other five teams, you know, Carolina and the Rangers are playing each other, and that's kind of a pick'em series, right? I mean, Carolina knows how to win at home. Can't win a game on the road. But, you know, those are two teams. Edmonton, Calgary are two teams. And Colorado's another team. They've got to show that they know what it takes to win. The other two do. The other two have won a Stanley Cup. And one team is more talented of those two. That's Tampa Bay. And they've won two Stanley Cups. But St. Louis is a hardened team with a core that has won a cup recently, 2019.
Yeah.
And when you get a team like that on the mat, right, if you're Colorado, you better hope you don't regret that because you had them on the mat. And they got up.
Yep.
So we'll see. You'd think Colorado should be able to win one of the last two games.
I'd be worried for Colorado if they got to a game seven.
Absolutely.
I'd be really worried.
Absolutely. So we're going to find out, just as we do every round, what is this team made of?
But you like to say, we're going to find out. We got to let it play out, and then we're going to find out. So you like to say that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then now let's discuss the Florida Panthers.
I knew you were going to say
because
that. I've already talked about
no,
this.
No, but I haven't.
Yeah,
and
no,
you,
I'm...
And you know what?
I'm happy to,
this
but I'll say this.
Are a bunch of phonies, okay? That's who they are.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of phonies. And now I go back to last year, and I think maybe it wasn't as good as we thought. Maybe Tampa wasn't very good last year in the first round. Because what I saw in these whole playoffs, not just the loss...
Yeah.
To Tampa. It was barely getting by Washington and scoring no goals in the process. And it was this great. You piled up a whole bunch of goals and you're really impressive in the regular season and the President's Trophy winners and scoring all these goals, but you better know how to do it come when it counts. and they almost lost to Washington. They probably should have, and they got embarrassed by Tampa.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they should have lost to Washington.
But it was 50-50. Like, I mean, AJ, they were
the better team in that series. But
they weren't
overly impressive. And
they were a foot away from going down 3-1 in that series. A foot.
Yeah, they still, anyways, doesn't matter. Let's judge them on what we saw against Tampa. And what we saw against Tampa, other than a game where they were pretty good in game two, but gave up a late goal. And they weren't able to recover from that. They actually played quite well in game four, and Vasilevsky,
yeah, I know,
give him a lot of credit. So at least they didn't go down.
Were they 49 saves in that game?
Yeah. At least they didn't go down meekly in that game, but disappointing, right? Got to learn how to win. And again, one of the things about these playoffs that I've loved, because I've stated this numerous times, 2020 and 2021, and in particular 2021, as a guy that loves, and you love both as well, the NBA and the Stanley Cup playoffs, we watch them both.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA playoffs were better the last 2 years, and dramatically better in 2021. And in 2022, the script has been flipped, where the Stanley Cup playoffs, partially because there's been a lot of blowouts, but because it has been really compelling hockey, the Stanley Cup playoffs have been better. And part of the reason it's been better is because the stars have been able to do their thing. And when you watch the various series, it's McDavid doing the damage, but it's not just McDavid, right? It's McDavid and Dreisaitl and Nugent Hopkins and Hyman and Kane, right? The best players are doing the damage. And in previous years, a lot of those guys have been nullified because I don't think they've been calling enough. And they've been calling, I think, just the right amount of penalties. It's probably slipped a little bit in round two, but I thought it was really good in round one. I didn't think they overdid it. And the stars have been able to do their thing. And so back to the Florida Panthers. And I think this is also an indictment right now of, if the Carolina Hurricanes don't win, you can say the exact same thing. The Florida Panthers' best players weren't good enough. Like, they got 12 points in a combined 20 games, 10 each, from Barkov and Huberto. And that's not good enough. Not the way the game has been played in these playoffs. We saw it again last night, right? Colorado lost, but McKinnon, hat trick, right? The best players, these games and these series generally have been determined by, okay, whose best players are outplaying the other team's best players. Edmonton, Calgary, it's 3-1. Game one, yeah. Gaudreau, Mangiapane, Tkachuk had a hat trick. Their best players were going. Hasn't been the case since 2 through 4.
Yeah.
Edmonton's best players, you look, 1 through 5 in terms of their forwards, they've all been bringing it. So, you know, back to Florida and on to Carolina, because Carolina's not won a road game.
Mm-hmm.
Svechnikov's got 4 points in these playoffs. Aho's got 9. He's been okay. Okay's not good enough. Okay's not good enough if you plan on winning a Stanley Cup. And if Carolina wants to take the next step, their best players, we know they're deep. We know they have, their goaltending's been fine. Rant has been good. Their D's really good. They're deep in terms of 1 through 4, and on their forward lines, they can run all 4. But if Carolina wants to take the next step, it's as simple as their best guys elevating, and they haven't done that. And certainly, that was the case with Florida. Verhaeghe was the guy. I mean, he's probably their third best forward, but he was clearly their best forward in these playoffs. And that isn't going to get it done if you want to win a Stanley Cup. Simple as that.
Back to Florida for a second with 3 goals in that second round. I know they scored 20 in 6 games in the first round, but I mean, they averaged 4.15 goals a game in the regular season, down to 2.3. in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Scoring 3 goals in 4 games is, I know you're playing Tampa, I get it, but holy moly, like, you got to figure out a way to be able to get to the next level. And I know that they played well, as you said, in game four and lots of shots, but I don't know. Like, it seems like every time we think a team is like a year away, they're probably 2 years away. And it's not that I will discredit Florida going into next year, because I'm sure they're going to be a playoff team if they keep a lot of their guys.
Yeah, they will be.
Right. And they'll be better for these experiences. But they you always said that the Leafs had all this baggage and Florida doesn't have any baggage. Well, they have baggage now.
Absolutely. They've now lost playoff series because they lost in the bubble as well, mm-hmm. in the play-ins. But it still was a playoff points 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got some baggage now. And especially you can say, okay, year one, they really weren't supposed to be there, so be it. Year two, they played the Stanley Cup champs and they gave them a hell of a run. All right.
Yep.
Year three, well, they won a playoff series, but they stunk. They regressed in terms of how that series went.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of stats here, just in terms of, you know, the Florida Panthers. This was one thing that concerned me when I looked at Florida going into the playoffs. They won 58 games. You know how many games they won in regulation?
Of the 58? Boy, you would hope that number would be. So you're obviously asking because they didn't win as many as you would think, but I would hope that number would be somewhere around, you said they won 58?
58 games.
So you'd hope it would be around 47, 48.
42.
Yeah, that's not enough.
That goes to show that they got a lot of points from a format, whether it's 3-on-3 overtime or the shootout.
That's not.
They got a lot of points in a format that's not used in the playoffs.
Right.
16 points. Like, a lot of people, I view it differently than some, whether it's right or wrong or whatever. A lot of people get focused on the loser point. And to me, the loser point was always there, right? You get into overtime, you always got a tie. Before the days of overtime, you always got a tie.
Mm-hmm.
You got to focus on the phony points. It's not about the loser point. It's about the phony points. All right, you guys got the extra point in OT or the shootout. That's great. In the old world, you're still only getting 1 point. So they got 16 phony points, which, hey, that's the format. Helped win them the President's Trophy. But that was sign number one. And then sign number two.
So they got 16? I'm just looking at, okay, Tampa got 12. Yeah, and the Leafs got 9. So,
you know where they were in terms of goals against in the Eastern Conference?
Fourth?
Eighth. Eighth best.
Not great.
President's Trophy winner, eighth best. And so, you know, there's a lot of teams. Where was Toronto? Ninth. Where's, I'm going to have to go check out the West here. I'm guessing.
Yeah, the difference.
Where's Minnesota? It's like 11th, right? So.
Well, you can just see 246 goals given up from Florida, 202 from Carolina. Like 44 goals in the season is a lot of goals.
So there's a lot of teams that gave up a lot of goals. Like Florida, Toronto, and Minnesota were those three teams for me going into the playoffs where I said, okay, they can win. You know, like, remember the Florida-Toronto game, right?
Mm-hmm.
5-1, it ended, what, 8-7 in overtime. Everyone, oh, this is great hockey.
Yeah.
You know what? They're playing great golf right now, both those teams. Same with Minnesota. In the end, Tampa Bay has shown. Tampa Bay, like, you need the skill, and I love the fact that, you know, the big boys, the stars are able to do their thing, but you still have to shut things down. Colorado couldn't shut it down last night. They still need to learn how to win. But a team like Tampa Bay, they're not the best, most talented team in the NHL anymore, but they know how to close out games. They can win a 2-1 game. They can win a 1-0 game.
All right, well, we'll come back and we'll talk about what's coming up. Because we still got some games coming up here, right? The Edmonton Oilers really going to close it out in Calgary tonight? Figure it out. We'll talk about the end. And then we got to get into the CFL stuff before Dave Smart comes on at 4 o'clock. Because you are the guy in the know. You were down there at TD Place today. I'm not sure, folks, it's a yes or no answer coming from AJ. But
I don't think anyone knows.
Yeah, we'll
I think there's people that have educated guesses, but I don't think too many people know if this is going to be a go or not. And we'll see. If I can just keep it short, and we'll get into a deeper conversation later. The thing that I in talking to players, I've talked to Canadian players, I've talked to American players, talked to people in management, so people on kind of all sides of things. When I talk to people, everyone seems cautiously optimistic. So when I have those conversations, I feel like, okay, you know what? I feel pretty good. And then you go on social media, and it's like the sky is falling. Right. So I don't know what's going to happen.
We'll get into it here.
But I do think, I'll just say, because of the conversations I've had, I'll stick to that world rather than social media world. And I'll say, okay, I'm not 100% sure, but still cautiously optimistic that cooler heads will prevail. They'll get things done, and hopefully some preseason football at TD Place tomorrow night.
All right, back with more of The Drive on TSN 1200. Welcome back to The Drive. Lee Versage, AJ Jack, you back. Bobby Hines, Cam is here. So as you were saying, AJ, before the break, about the Canadian Football League. Supposed to have a game tomorrow. Toronto Argonauts, the Ottawa Red Blacks, preseason. Supposed to have the regular season begin in 2 weeks, tomorrow. So, exactly where are we? You were down there at TD Place earlier today, and as you said before the break, it's a little bit difficult to know exactly what's going on right now, but what is the, what's the very latest here?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're going to find out. Here's the Coles Notes version if you haven't been following things. So basically, the players went on strike. So they missed a few days of training camp. Then they came to an agreement, a tentative agreement between the bargaining committee and the league, which you would have thought, okay, everything's sorted out. So the players ended up coming back. It was subject to ratification by the players. The bargaining committee, I believe, has two American players and three Canadian players, so it's representative on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And the players didn't ratify it. So for whatever reason, and there was, you know, a lot of talk in social media about why. A lot of blame towards Canadian players. And again, that's why I think it's important. I've talked to Canadian players and American players, and I know this is not just a split amongst Canadians and Americans. I know there are Canadians that have supported the deal that wasn't ratified. I know there are Americans that turned it down for other reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're back to square one. Like, part of what I have heard is that the, I don't know, do you know about the 49% stuff?
Yep.
Yeah. So basically, as it stands right now, like in terms of what we have been dealing with for Canadian players, the amount of Canadians on a game day roster is not going to change. That has not been up for grabs, so to speak, in terms of, you know, what they've been negotiating about. But it has been a debate about the starters because, you know, and I think, and I stand with the league on this one. I stand with the American players on this one that have been fighting for a better situation. There's been one of the biggest complaints when it comes to the Canadian Football League from fans is there's too much turnover year over year. And if you're looking at the Ottawa Red Blacks as a prime example over, you know, since their inception, most of the good players that have left here, right, have been Americans. There have been good Canadians that have left, but generally they have left because they have signed really big contracts, they have gone home, or they've done both.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Mark Cordy,
yep.
Evan Johnson.
Yep.
It's not like they are just being discarded for guys making the league minimum, which, like, I could go on and on, especially on the defensive side of the ball, from Jovan Johnson to Brandon Thompson, to Domiso Munoz, to Moten Hopkins, and on and on and on, players that, oh, you know what? You're being moved along because we feel like we can bring in Jonathan Rose, right? You can go on and on and on. We feel like we can bring in somebody that can make the league minimum and probably be slightly worse than you to start, but get to your level.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of American players.
As soon as you get good as an American, you have a chance to be discarded.
And it's crap, quite frankly. I'm as patriotic as they come, and I say this every time. I went to 9 Canada games out of 14 in their World Cup qualifying. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that Drake Batherson scored today for Canada to beat Sweden. I care about the World Championships. I know not everyone does. I do. I love seeing our Canadian women experience success in hockey, soccer, basketball, Olympic games, all that type of stuff. I'm pumped about the 14-man roster from Jamal Murray and R.J. Barrett to Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Dwight Powell and Kevin Pangos, Dylan Brooks, so on and so forth. No Wiggins, but you know what? I love the 14. I want to see Canada get some success on the men's stage. So I'm patriotic. I think a Canadian Football League needs Canadian players, which isn't up for grabs, and needs Canadian starters. It's a significant part of the league. But guess what? In terms of how it's worked, they're not the ones who have been hard done by. The Americans are the guys who have been hard done by, and they've come up, and they've added to the product on the field, and more importantly, they've added to the community. Sherrod Baltimore putting on a free football camp for 200 kids because he wants to make a difference in the community. And we can go on and on and on and on and on about all the different people that have contributed on the field and in our community, and they deserve better. They deserve better. So that's where this is at in terms of, okay, so back to, you know, the negotiations and where things are at. Basically, that needs to be addressed where all of a sudden they're not discarded. And so they've come up with a naturalized American or a naturalized Canadian or a veteran American, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they were going through, from what I understand, I'm not in the room, but from what I understand, there were two different proposals. There was the league's proposal and there was the player's proposal. And the player's proposal involved that 49%, which meant 7 Canadian starters, 1 naturalized American starter, a naturalized Canadian starter, which would be a veteran American of 3 years in one place or 5 years total in the league. And then basically 3 naturalized Canadians that would be able to play 49% of the snaps. So it was kind of viewed as maybe 5.5 spots for Canadian starters. Like you're, no matter what, is like 5.5.
Right.
That was the player's proposal. They voted down their own proposal.
Mm-hmm.
The league came back again to their original proposal, which was 6-1. Not 7-1, 6-1. Well, at least in the media. Now, I'm led to believe there could be a vote tonight, which absolutely should be the case. If you're talking about the league about to go over a cliff, because that's what we're talking about here. If we miss preseason games, this thing is about to go over a cliff. So if you're about to go over a cliff, put it to the membership. I'm pro player. I want the players to get what they deserve. I don't think they've always got what they deserved in this league, and that's not the Canadians in particular. Mainly it's the Americans. I think the league minimum should go up, but again, for whatever reason, it's short-sighted. Oh, you know what? It's not the it's not the owners that are against that. It's the players, because they're worried about the people in the middle, which to me is short-sighted. The league minimum, given where prices are at right now, the cost of gas, the cost of food, everything, to me, the league minimum should go up. Simple as that. And that doesn't mean the cap's going to go up. The cap is the cap. It just means, yes, guess what? If you're making 150, maybe you make 120. But the guy next to you in the room, might be able to look after his groceries a little bit better. I'm not trying to divide anybody. I'm frustrated. I'm pro-Canadian. Canadian Football League needs Canadian players, but the Americans need to be treated better. They bring so much to the game and so much to our community. They have been hard done by. I don't want to see the next Brandon Thompson, the next Jovan Johnson play here for 2 years and go elsewhere and maybe pack it in. I want to see those guys stick around, stick in the community, contribute to the community, and add to our community.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to do that. But they can't be so stubborn. Put this to a vote for the entire group. And you know what? If they turn it down, that's their right. They don't have to. I get it. They're the ones putting their bodies on the line, right? Tough sport. It's a real tough sport. I have the greatest respect for what they do and how they put their bodies on the line. But in the end, put it to a vote for everybody. Let's see where it goes. And if you decide, you know what? You didn't like your own proposal. Like, to me, it seems just asinine. You didn't like your own proposal. Okay, fine. Now you don't want to vote on their proposal again? Like, we're not even talking about how the salary cap's going to be or anything like that. It's, I'm not saying the ratio is the only issue. There are other issues. But it is, from the people I've talked to, the biggest issue. So put it to a vote. And if you want to go over a cliff, because that's what's going to happen. Like, it's as simple as this. This isn't me taking sides. If they don't play tomorrow night, you tell me how they're going to get a better deal.
I can't.
This isn't me taking the owner's side. This is just me asking the question.
No, they're going to lose revenue.
How do you think you're going to get a better deal if you don't play tomorrow?
You're going to lose revenue, and then the next deal that comes will not have that revenue included. So, of course, it will be worse. On the totality of it all, the deal will be worse if they don't play tomorrow. So, I would hate to ask you what the non-Coles notes summary.
Well, it's me, you know that.
I know, but that was awesome. Like, and look, I like to give you a hard time about different things than we do with each other. But number one, you are as patriotic as anybody that a lot of people would know. So that's not even in question. And number two, in a real Coles notes version, is what we've been saying all along. Figure it out and get on the field.
Yeah.
Enough of this crap. Get on the field. And if that means Canadians have to take a little bit of a hit to give more to Americans to bring the minimum up or whatever it is, then yeah. I understand they're a more valuable commodity in the CFL because the good ones are hard to come by and then you got to pay them more because they're good and like I get it. But as you said, I don't want to speak for Sherrod Baltimore on this, but the reason that Sherrod Baltimore has stuck around this community and the reason he has been able to have a chance to be here is number one, because he didn't like he was on the team and then he was off the team and then he was back on the team and he just wasn't making very much money. And so they were able to keep him around because he didn't get this like, okay, he played really well and then he played really well and now we're going to owe him this because he deserves it. No, he actually stuck around longer because unfortunately for him, he was kind of in and he was out and they were always bringing in other guys and he never made that much money.
Well, and here's the thing.
And good on him for sticking around.
On him for sticking around, but there's a guy that is sticking around and is sticking around for, you know, closer to the league minimum than what a lot of other Canadian starters are making.
That's what I mean. And he did that on his own. And if he didn't choose to do that, hey, I'm going to make not very much money, but I care so much about this that I'm going to stay. If he didn't make that individual decision, you can't expect everyone to just make it. Good on him. We love him around here. But you're asking people to not take very much money whatsoever. And then if you don't invest in the community, suddenly you're looked at. You know, we love these guys that invest in the community, but they're doing so because that's just a good person. That's it. That's a great person, Sherrod Baltimore.
It has to be very frustrating. Like, if there are guys that have been fringe players that have made 150 to 180 grand, and I don't care. Like, I want everybody to make, like, in a perfect world, I'd say, hey, if the revenue was there, everyone in the league would make that's so it's not about that, but it has to be very frustrating when you see. Well, I'll name a couple.
I was going to say we're probably going to name the same guys.
Philippe Gagnon.
Yep.
Okay. Philippe Gagnon. How many games did he start here?
Who would even know him? Really?
Philippe Gagnon made 150 grand.
Right.
Meantime, there's guys making 65 starting.
Way better than
some of the best players in the sport, in the Canadian Football League, and they're making 65 grand because they're an American DB.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a backup Canadian O-lineman because you need him, making 150 grand. So, again, it's not about the 150 grand. It's about the disparity in terms of pay versus talent. In every other league, the best guys get paid. And in this league, yes, the best guys do get paid to a certain extent. But there's some guys that aren't even starters that make way more money than guys that are performing on the field. And all I think the fans are asking and people like all someone like me is asking. I don't want to get rid of Canadians. I want Canadian starters, want Canadian players, all that type of stuff. The pendulum just needs to be switched a little bit the other way. Just a little bit. I'm not talking sweeping changes, a little bit. Because you can't sit here and tell me that we should just keep things the same way, but at the same time, we don't like the fact that there's too much turnover and all these guys leave after a year or two. And you can't buy a guy's jersey knowing that he might be leaving shortly. So,
right.
Like, you can't just say, well, I want both things to happen. There's correlation, and there needs to be a little bit of a switch in the pendulum to make things a little better for the American players that contribute, especially the veteran ones. Not saying the guys that are here for a year or two, the guys that are in a community for 3 years. That means if they stay for a fourth in that community, they're going to be rewarded and compensated for that. Or if they're in the league for five, they're staying for at least six, they'll be rewarded and compensated for that. That seems like a pretty good compromise. A win for the fans, who are amongst the most important here. Win for the owners, and a win for the players. And yes, it might mean Philippe Gagnon goes from making 150 to 110. But
oh well,
he's still going to be doing okay.
Yeah.
Better than more guys that are making 65.
All right, we got to take a break. Come back with more. Take a look at your traffic and weather. Back with more of The Drive on TSN 1200.